Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 319, recorded on January 21st, 2017. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me is Adam Christensen and Jeff Gamet. The band is back together. What's up, guys?
Yay.
Oh my God, finally. It just, nothing. You know, I felt like there's been a part of me missing when we've done the show without you, Adam.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, while you were out eating, like, Arizona pizza in the desert.
Arizona pizza in Gila Bend.
Yeah.
The middle of nowhere.
That's what Adam was up to instead of doing the show.
Yeah, I had a family obligation out in Arizona.
That's all right.
Family obligation that included pizza in the middle of the desert.
Yeah, we forgive you.
Yep.
It's understandable.
But I will tell you also, when we were out there, we went and saw Hidden Figures, and everybody needs to see that movie.
Ooh.
No, that's a pick. You should have saved that.
I haven't had a chance yet.
That's a great pick. That's a really good movie. You should have saved it as a pick. But yes, so definitely go see that. Obviously, I saw it because space stuff. But, you know, it's a great story about women doing awesome things in science and African-American people doing awesome things in science. And it's just crazy. It was mind-blowing to see, like, what was actually going on back then that, like, you know, there, I mean, I knew logically that segregation was a thing.
Our wonderful American education system didn't teach us about.
I mean, I was taught about it. I knew about it. It was just, you know, when you see it,
you
in
knew
action.
About those people and those women and
I didn't know about them.
NASA.
I didn't know about them. I did not know.
Never
about them.
Taught that.
Yeah. So it's cool. It's a great story. Check that movie out. So, first thing on the Not AirPods show is there are three really
AirPods
cool
are awesome.
Really cool ads that Apple put up, which I think are some of the best ads that Apple's put out in a while. The AirPods
really?
Ads. Yeah, I think they're great. I think they're
dancing ads.
Very close. They remind me a lot of
the
OG iPod
lines,
ads.
Right?
Yeah, there's the one with the notes, right? The notes.
Oh, that is one. So there's two ads.
Two ads.
Really.
There's two ads.
Oh, I haven't seen the one with notes.
Yeah, so they use the little AirPods as notes on a staff.
Oh, that's clever.
Yeah. But yeah, it reminds me of the original iPod silhouette ads.
Yeah, I can see that.
I like it.
Absolutely.
So you can check out the link to that. There's not much more you can say about an ad because it's visual and stuff.
Guy dancing down the street.
Yeah, we're in AirPods.
Defying gravity,
as you would need to if you're running around upside down with AirPods, because those things are going to pop out if you're upside down.
So they're trying to make the point that they don't fall out, right? I mean, that's what that's sort of about.
Oh, I just thought it was about how you get totally immersed in the music because you're going to love your AirPods so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's an undertone of... Hey,
it felt like a product branding thing, and that was it. Not so much a message about features.
I don't think it was but again, Apple does that a lot, I think, in their ads, is they make it about brand and experience, but subtly work in undertones of features.
Yeah,
in a
I
lot
totally
of their
agree.
Ads.
There was definitely that. And in the full cut, they show him more or less pairing it with his phone and then starting it up and then, you know, popping the earbud out to listen to something in the street and the
right,
music
the pausing.
And
so they
stuff.
Get all the features in there. They're not
They don't directly
face,
address but... them. They don't actually say, like, oh, this is going to do this, this, and this. You just see the experience of how well it works.
They know everybody knows already. I mean, they talked about the dang things on the Today Show, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. So, moving on. Chris Lattner, developer at Apple, guy who basically invented Swift. I believe he was the one who presented Swift, right? When it first came out?
Oh, I don't remember, but probably, very likely.
That was
he has presented Swift, so I'm assuming that you're correct.
Yeah. So, very, very smart guy, was at Apple, has decided to step down from Apple and take a position at Tesla to work on their self-driving efforts. And it makes sense. And it's also interesting that he's going over to Tesla to do this, whereas, you know, he was working on Swift and developer tools and all those things. Kind of says a lot about Apple's car ambitions that he's gone.
And yes, he did demo Swift at the WWDC keynote in 2014.
Yeah.
And I don't think we know enough to equate his leaving Apple with Apple's car plans. He was pretty straightforward when he said that the offer that he got from Tesla was too good to pass up.
He also has commented since then that a big part of it was just the opportunity that Tesla presented just to work on like really cool stuff.
It's a tough, interesting problem. And right. That's the kind of stuff that this guy wants to work on. I mean, the dude single-handedly invented Swift. So
yeah, to me, that says more that he probably wasn't working on car stuff at Apple, because had he been working on those problems, maybe he would have been more apt to stay. Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, only he really knows for sure. A lot of it can just be, you know, he did a major thing at Apple, right? Launched it. He's done with that, and now he's ready for a different kind of challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it doesn't, you know, there are a lot of people who say, oh, no, this is another indication that Apple's falling apart. They've lost their magic, yada, yada. But, I mean, if I was in his position and you saw an opportunity to work on a problem like that, especially if Tesla's going to give you a butt ton of money, you know, that's a fun problem to work on.
Right, then you go for it.
If you've, I mean, he's worked on big problems at Apple, and now he's moving on to something that is another interesting problem.
And the other thing is, we could do the exact flip of him leaving and point to, you know, I don't have anybody off the top of my head right now, but I'm sure we could go through Apple's recent hires and find some amazing people from other companies that have come to Apple in the past 6 months.
Yeah,
you know. This is just what happens in technology, especially if you're a person at the top of your game. A lot of those guys don't want to be pinned down any one place for too long because they don't want to get sort of pigeonholed or like into a certain culture for an extended period of time. They want to go make an impact and then move on to make an impact someplace else.
Right.
Right. And when you get those deals that are just too good to pass up, then you're probably foolish if you do pass them up. I mean, I'm not saying anyone's offering me any deals that are too good to pass up, but I love what I'm doing at Mac Observer. But if someone came along with the opportunity of a lifetime that took me away from there, as much as I would hate leaving Mac Observer, well, of course I would do it because it's the opportunity of a lifetime. And I would expect anyone else that's working with me to do the same thing. And I would feel bad if someone passed up an opportunity like that just because they felt that that they had to stay around, even though there was something that was going to be much better for them. Anyhow, the point is, someone made him an offer that he shouldn't pass up, and so he didn't. Yeah. I don't think that reflects on Apple. That's just business.
Yeah. And, it makes a lot of sense, too, because Tesla is currently working to get all the they want full self-driving capability by the end of the year. And so all their cars that they are producing now, I think that was from the middle of 2016. As of October 2016, all vehicles produced in the factory, including the Model 3, will have the hardware needed for full self-driving. And so they want to get the software buttoned up and ready by the end of this year, which of course is Elon time. So that'll, you know, they're trying to get it done as fast as possible, but I'm guessing it'll take a little bit longer. But it makes sense that they're looking for a superstar like Lattner to help them out.
So yeah, there you go.
There it is. Let's see. What about facial recognition coming to the iPhone 8? So let's see. According to Cohen and Company analyst Timothy Arcuri, that's probably how you say it.
Let's go with that.
He believes that the iPhone 8 is going to have facial recognition and gesture recognition in for authentication. So it'll be another biometric, and then potentially to do some other control stuff on the iPhone as well. Ming-Chi Kuo has also chimed in on facial recognition on the iPhone 8 in support of the whole flexible OLED display, single piece of glass, all that kind of thing that we're looking forward to in the iPhone 8. He believes that there is, in order to get Touch ID to work on this all glass single pane thingy that is going to ideally happen, I thought they were using some kind of CMOS chip to do Touch ID. Is that what you guys thought? I thought they were doing some kind of like taking a picture of your finger. But based on what Kuo says...
No, I don't think they're doing a picture. Okay. They're creating a mathematic algorithm based on your fingerprint pattern.
Okay, so fair enough. And it seems like that's what he's talking about as well. So it's a capacitive technology for Touch ID. But in order to do the flexible OLED and everything else that they want to do, it would require a visual, an optical sensor for Touch ID instead, just because of the arrangement of everything. And so in order to switch to that, it's going to require a lot more technology and it's going to be harder. So part of it, he thinks, is they're going to try to augment it with facial recognition. And eventually move to entirely facial recognition because allegedly it is more secure.
Hmm.
Hmm, indeed.
Can we talk a little bit about the facial recognition thing?
Yeah.
Because I have an honest question. I have a question about this. And I really don't know, because this has come up before, this rumor that Apple was going to do facial recognition. I don't understand what the appeal or what the purpose or why that's a technology that we want or need in a smartphone. Thoughts, ideas? Because I can't really think of any. I mean, maybe auto unlock, like if it sees your face, but it seems weird to me. I guess if it works at like an angle when the phone is on the table or something like that. But the idea of sort of like holding my phone up like a selfie to unlock it seems more time consuming than just, as I'm picking it up, resting my finger or pushing on the home button or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I've never quite bought that as like the killer app for facial recognition.
Yet neither have I. To me, facial recognition has more value as facial tracking.
Okay.
And that would be for very specialized uses. Like if you're doing something where you're actually creating a total artificial reality world, mm-hmm. but you want to have avatars that accurately represent everyone that's in the world, then facial tracking would be very useful for that. And I could see where it would have value for other specialized fields, like in the medical market.
Right.
You could use that, like if you're looking for symptoms of stroke, yeah. or if you have a stroke victim and you are using their facial patterns and movements to track recovery, things like that.
Yeah. See, that's kind of my point. And I'm not trying to diss it or say it's not anything we should have. I just really have never heard an argument, especially with a cell phone, for it being in there that wasn't just sort of like a gimmick or kind of at the end of the day feels like a parlor trick. And maybe I'm just missing something, and I'm fully willing to accept that I'm missing something. I could see it in, like, maybe your laptop might make more sense, again, for some of the reasons you're saying, Jeff, unless it's somehow playing into some of the VR augmented reality stuff that, you know, Apple wants to, or reportedly wants to do with the, with potentially the phone.
Yeah, that's another one of the uses that Arcuri mentioned.
But I still, maybe it's just a technology I need to get to know or understand better. I mean, and they did buy, like, Face Shift, right? Which isn't that one of their deals? So, you know, I guess if it could there could be some neat applications, I guess, that you could build where you have, like, again, you're right, though, Jeff, more in the facial tracking kind of area.
It seems like more of a, at this point, if it's included, if facial recognition stuff is included, it seems more like accessibility feature.
Accessibility, yeah, maybe. Also, I mean, as potentially as a security feature too, you know, if you can make it so that, like, you're the only person that can use the phone, and if it doesn't recognize you as being the person using it, it locks itself or something like that. That could be interesting as well, I guess.
I suppose.
I guess. I don't know. I'm just not feeling the love for facial recognition on my phone.
Yeah, and mainly I'm bringing it up because it keeps coming up and it never seems to happen. And I think it's one of these things that Apple is constantly playing around with, but they've just never sort of realized, like, okay, this is great, we can do it, but what are we going to use it for?
Right.
Right. And then they're like, ah.
if the purpose of this is so that my iPhone can figure out what my facial expression is and then drop the corresponding emoji into a text message, don't put it on. Just
But again, too, I guess facial recognition could be used for that. I you know, maybe when you're doing selfies, it can tell when you're smiling. But don't we kind of already have that stuff built in? I guess we don't.
We've had
on an iPhone, right?
We've had that in cameras for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think there's competing. So I have heard that, you know, where you take a picture, a sequence of pictures, and then it can detect, you know, which is the best one that you're smiling in. But I think the Photos app, with its just built-in image recognition algorithms and artificial intelligence, kind of does that or has the ability to do that. Correct me, I might be wrong, but I seem to remember thinking that, you know, if I'd use burst mode to take a bunch of photos of somebody in that analysis that it does, you know, how it tries to present, i.e. the best photo, I always thought with people in the photos, it would recognize, okay, everybody's smiling in this one, and they weren't in these other ones, so it would pick that one, but I could be wrong.
No, that sounds familiar.
But that's past analysis. You know, I think what we're talking about with this feature is real-time facial recognition. But again, the question becomes, what are they going to use it for? Right. So I'm just kind of interested in that. So yeah. If anybody in our audience has ideas, email me.
Yeah. Okay. Second generation Apple Pencil is rumored for March of this year. I guess the biggest thing.
The killer feature is a magnet.
Yes.
Yeah.
The killer feature is that it's going to stick to the side of your iPad.
Is that really the... I was kind of half joking. I have the story. I haven't dug into it very deep. But no, that was the only thing that I saw referenced.
What they're saying is the killer feature.
That's the only thing they've mentioned. Although, okay, so... You know, whatever.
You could make it better. I mean, frankly, the thing is dang good. I mean... Maybe if it had flip around like eraser.
That was the only thing I was thinking. They could add that as a feature. Although, how do you
redesign the tail end so that you don't lose the cap?
Yeah, that'd be good too. Wireless
charging. Wireless charging. Those little tips that you can unscrew and replace. Give us alternate tip styles we can put on there. So we can have like a chisel tip and a brush tip to go along with the pencil tip.
That could be cool.
Mm-hmm.
But we haven't heard about any of those things. All we've heard is it's going to have a magnet, so it'll stick to the side of your iPad.
And the other thing people are talking about is a killer new feature is a pocket clip on it.
Yeah.
And when I read that, I think I actually out loud said, seriously, that's a killer feature.
Yeah.
Yeah, my guess is magnets to hold it to the side of your iPad.
A lot of people just, as a life hack tip, if a clip is something you want, you can get one off of like a pen, you know, one of those ones that's just like the springy little metal band that sort of goes around it. Pop it off a pen and slide it on your
they fit perfectly.
Apple Pencil. There you go.
Yep. I see a lot of that. Actually, almost every Apple Pencil in the wild I see has one of those on it. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a magnet sleeve already on mine, and I'll tell you, that has not been a killer feature. It's convenient sometimes. I'll like clip it to the smart case.
Yeah.
I took a magnet sleeve off of
it around. Yeah.
The primary purpose the magnet sleeve was serving for me was to keep my pencil from rolling. I have a friend that used one a lot and would take their Apple Pencil and just stick it on the cover.
Yeah, I did. And that's what I do occasionally.
Yeah, it reversed the polarity on the magnets in the cover. So when you close the cover, the edge of it pops back up and sits up, you know, like, I don't know, 3-4 millimeters.
Wow.
Oh, really?
Something.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't use it frequently enough because, frankly, I mean, it's not that strong and it kind of pops off. So I guess if Apple can design something that really sticks hard, but I mean, what you'd really want is to be able to put it on there and slide it in a bag, and it's going to get pushed off anyway. So I just don't get that feature as being
exactly
all that great.
Not sure.
Wireless charging would be great. You know, like if you've been into the Apple store to use the Apple Pencil, they have those cool little white trays. They could have a tray like that, and you just drop it on there. And it could even have, even if that tray had like the AirPods was a battery, you know, built-in battery thing that you could charge up.
Well, the problem with wireless charging, I believe, is the charge rate.
An Apple Pencil case.
An Apple Pencil case. I am in.
That's a battery.
So in.
That'd be nice.
That would be cool.
I like the Apple Pencil case. Make that.
How come nobody's done one of those? Oh, because you don't have wireless charging. There you go.
You just
Should be like the AirPods. Like you just have a little slot, you know, a little hole.
Adam.
And
So I know we're not supposed to talk about the AirPods, but
Sorry.
Have you?
Hey, we started off the show with.
I wasn't
AirPods,
really talking about AirPods.
No, this is me. I'm derailing us.
Uh-oh.
Have you been having issues with your AirPods and reception, or connecting? I've been having reception issues. I've been having dropouts and stuff.
Reset them.
I've done that.
No. I've had no issues. Nope.
So the reset, how you do that again? You have to plug it in first.
You put both AirPods.
Right. You plug them in.
Into the battery case.
You put them both in the case. Do you have to have the case plugged in?
No. It doesn't have to be connected. It needs to be charged up.
Yeah. And you press and hold.
You hold the button until you see the white light turn to amber and flash 3 times.
Okay.
And then it'll go back to white pulsating. And at that point, it will have disconnected from everything because it's a factory reset. You'll need to go into your device and tell it to forget the AirPods.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then just pop open the battery case, and it should go through the original pairing connect procedure. And then it should be good to go.
Yeah, I did that. Interesting. Problems. Not too bad, though. I can live with it. But I may be getting another pair at some point when they have some to be given.
I've got an extra pair right here.
Yeah? You want to trade?
I think the MacCast community would not be happy with you since they're a giveaway.
Well, then why did you bring it up?
Well, maybe you could enter
just
the drawing.
To taunt you.
Oh, okay.
To taunt you.
Thank you. New iPads are coming out, but not until the second half of this year, I guess. According to DigiTimes, it seems like the 9.7-inch is in production right now. I'm pretty sure that's correct. And then they're going to have two different sizes, two other sizes, a 10.5 inch and a 12.9.
Yep.
And those are in the planning. The
sizes again.
9.7, 10.5, and 12.9.
That's what I thought you said. I'm not buying the 10 inch okay. or 10 and a half inch.
Well, the
10.5 is supposed to be bezel-less, right?
Both.
Or almost bezel-less?
I thought it was both the 10.5 and the 12.9. They would have the higher end processors.
Right.
And it seems like they would be the pro, and that the 9.7 would be the quote low cost iPad with an A9X processor.
Yeah, basically the 10.5 is going to replace the current 9.7 inch Pro.
Right.
Is what I'm thinking.
Now, I think the idea, as we've discussed before, it's going to have a much smaller bezel to keep the physical footprint of it right around the same size as the 9.7 is now. So
I saw also somebody do some math. Who was postulating that at the 10.5, if they just did a higher density display, they could potentially have the 12.9 and the 10.5 be the same resolution.
Hmm. But then wouldn't things on the screen be smaller on the big one? I mean, on the smaller one?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yep, just a little bit. Hmm.
That'd be interesting. So, but yeah, not until the second half of this year.
That seems right to me. I mean, to be honest,
yeah,
iPad sales have been going, they're kind of moving to that cycle. Seems to make sense. Because if it was coming out second quarter, right? Are you saying it's not? It's going to come out in the second half of next year.
Correct. This year.
And typically they come out in the second quarter would be 1 year. Is that, am I getting that right?
The last iPads came out in March last year.
So a lot of people would expect March, but I don't think it makes sense for iPads to be on a yearly cycle anymore.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't make sense. I'm happy with my iPad Air 2. So,
and so are a lot of other people, and they're happy with their, you know, I'm totally happy with my iPad Pro. I'm not ready to buy another one, or I don't need to buy another one.
Yeah.
I probably won't even be ready in the second half of this year, but I'll be tempted, I'm sure, by the new snazziness.
Oh, we will all be tempted.
New snazziness. Let's see here. Ooh, I like this rumor. This is going to be my favorite rumor, at least of this month. According to an Israeli site, The Verifier, several people familiar with iOS development say that they're working on multi-person FaceTime calls for iOS 11. Like we had in, what was that, OS 10 Panther?
Yeah.
No, that was Tiger, right? iChat AV.
iChat AV.
I don't remember which version it was, but yeah. Finally, we should totally have that.
A long time ago. Yeah. I mean, the reality is no one will use it because everybody just uses Skype or some other tool.
Bull Loney.
Multi-party chat in FaceTime, I would use the crap out of that.
Everybody's going to use the crap out of it. People who don't need to do multi-people video calling use FaceTime all the time.
How many FaceTime calls do you do a month?
Tons? Like,
do you?
Yes.
I'm shocked. I do zero.
It's because you're an old guy. You don't know what's up.
I do a lot of FaceTime calls.
You don't do like Snap, Face, Insta chat.
I do Snapchats too, but I do FaceTime as well.
I do not Snapchat.
All you young kids did Snap, Face, Insta chat.
Oh, Snap, Face, Insta chat. Is that what it's called?
Oh, Snap, Face, Insta chat. I should totally get into that, Daddy O.
Oh man. That's not what it's called, is it? Snapface InstaChat?
It is now. Okay. Adam, as soon as we're done recording the show, let's totally whip that up real fast and get it on the App Store.
Yeah. So anyway, people, if so when you do want to do multi, people go out and do Skype or maybe GChat or whatever. But, you know, if you want, this is definitely going to be big. A guarantee.
Cool. Guarantee. They should have had it. I mean, it should have been there from day one, to be honest.
I agree.
It's lame that we didn't have it. I guess maybe not day one because there was the whole cellular bandwidth data problem, right? But
well, it wasn't
now
even a cellular thing. It was a Wi-Fi only feature at first. Now
for a long time, that's true.
The other aspect of this is they're calling iOS 11 a primarily social update, which focuses on iMessages and FaceTime, which makes a crap ton of sense. Because as great as the new feature set in iMessages is, the UI is bonkers.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Yeah.
I totally agree with that.
So
it makes no sense.
That's honestly, that's one of the few things, like, I mean, the fact
I still don't understand digital touch at all.
Yeah, it's
and
weird.
I'm half joking, but I'm half serious.
It's tough to use. I don't have a lot of people using it with me. I think it's confusing, and you know, a lot of times you just don't even know if it's going to work on the other person's end. People want to use it, but it's right. You know, I've sent you know, someone sends me an iMessage that says, "Okay, I'll be there in 5 minutes" or whatever. I can either send like "Okay" or a thumbs up emoji, or I mean, what I really want to do is do a thumbs up on the message. But if you do that and they don't have the right version, it sends a weird message saying, "Michael Johnston sent a thumbs up message to the message," and then it quotes the entire message. And it's like, is this person insane?
Right.
Yeah. I think it's Apple's passive aggressive way of trying to get other people to buy iOS devices that support that feature.
And could bubble effects and screen effects be harder to use?
I can never,
like, try
I've never
teaching
done
that to someone who's not a nerd. It's like, what?
I'm sure they could be harder to use, but right now I'm hard pressed to tell you how.
And I will comment too. I did not really appreciate, you know, when the new year came up and I was texting Happy New Year that it auto applied a full screen effect.
Oh, it did?
Oh yeah, I noticed that. Yeah.
I think it does for happy birthday too. Like, I think if you text somebody happy birthday and it's an iMessage, it will do the balloon effect by default, like without even asking you. It just does it.
Does it have
is it
know?
Just on the person's birthday, or is it for all of them?
I don't know. We could try it now. I don't know if it does or not, but I would assume it does just based on what it did for Happy New Year. And maybe they only enabled it for New Year's Day. I don't know. I haven't tried it since.
Oh yeah, it did.
Check your messages, Michael.
Yeah, it was a balloon. I was literally sending it to you as I got it.
So it did automatically apply it, right?
It automatically applied it.
It didn't even ask you.
What if I say Happy New Year?
It'll do like fireworks, I think.
Did it do it?
No.
This is great podcasting.
anyway, sorry. So, I mean, it's kind of cool that that's on. So, but why wouldn't it just like do something like that and just like give you a prompt? Do you want to use a screen effect for this? Or I don't know. It should just be easier. Like
it's something.
So anything they can do to make the whole messages UI and experience better, I'm all for.
I'm kind of bummed. Cool. No cool, hearts shot up the screen, Michael, when I sent you Happy Valentine's Day.
That's lame.
Yeah,
it auto-corrected that, right? Anyway, nothing else to talk about, right? So do we want to do picks? Or was there something else to talk about?
Yeah, we want to do picks.
If there's nothing else to talk about, we can do picks. So,
is there really nothing else to talk about?
Speak now or forever move on to picks.
I can't think of anything.
Okay, so Jeff, what's your pick?
Yeah.
Start with Jeff. I need to find one.
Do it.
All right. Do you want a positive pick or a negative pick?
Positive.
Okay, then my positive pick is Lemony Snicket series of unfortunate events series on Netflix streaming.
Oh, so good.
Holy crap, it's fantastic. It's absolutely wonderful. The imagery is done so well. It's almost like you're watching something that is created as a toy, and at the same time, it's real. It's hard to describe some of the imagery, but it's just so incredibly done, or incredibly well done. And Neil Patrick Harris as the evil uncle is just wonderful. It's a fun series.
Cool.
So, Lemony Snicket series of unfortunate events. Yeah,
I've been told it's a lot of it's very true to the original book series. They're basically doing each book, I think, has two episodes in the first couple of books. So those people who are into it, I never read the books, but my kids.
I didn't read the books either. But wow,
some of the lines are pulled verbatim, and scenarios are pulled almost verbatim from the book.
Patrick Warburton,
which I appreciate.
Patrick Warburton is awesome. Yeah, he plays Lemony Snicket. I got to interview him at Comic-Con in Denver one year.
Oh, Patrick Warburton, the Tick?
Yeah. Oh, my God. He is so cool. He is so nice. I mean, he's one of those guys that you meet and you know, they kind of have that genuine, friendly appearance.
Yeah.
That's what he really is. I mean, he was just really wonderful to get to meet.
That's awesome.
And so much fun to interview. So anyhow, he's fantastic in the series too.
Cool. All right. So Adam, what's your pick?
So I'm going to pick a game. It's actually been around for a while and I had meant to play it and I'd forgotten about it, but it was on my wish list. So I discovered it. It is a game called, and I don't remember the price, unfortunately, called Card Crawl. And it is for anybody who's into like fantasy, Dungeons and Dragons, those kinds of things, it's sort of that theme, but it's a card game. And so what happens is you get dealt a hand of four cards, and then on each turn, you have to basically equip those cards or choose to fight a monster or something. So you pull them down to add them to your character. And then once you've grabbed three of the cards, then you get three new cards in those slots. And what you're trying to do is kill monsters, earn gold, and try and get through the whole deck. I forget how many cards are in the original starting deck, but you're trying to get through and score points, and you're trying to earn as many points. It's kind of hard to describe the game. But just know it's like it's a cool little quick fantasy themed Dungeons and Dragons kind of themed game using cards, and it's a lot of fun. And I think it was relatively inexpensive. I want to say it was like $1.99 or $2.99.
Nice. Yeah, it's $2.99.
Cool.
And no in-app purchase, none of that stuff. So it's just buy the game, play it. It's kind of cool, quick game you can jump into. Probably takes about, I don't know, 5 minutes to play one hand. And so if you're standing in line, just want to do something. And it's got kind of cool artwork and just a fun theme. So
nice.
Try that.
Okay, so my pick is going to be a website called astronaut.io. And I will just read what it says on the website. It says, today you are an astronaut. You are floating in inner space 100 miles above the surface of the Earth. You peer through your window, and this is what you see. You are people watching. These are fleeting moments. These are videos. These videos come from YouTube. They were uploaded in the last week and have titles like DSC1234 and IMG4321. They have almost zero previous views. They are unnamed, unedited, and unseen by anyone but you.
Yeah.
That's really so cool. I spent like an hour last night watching just random videos.
Can you get it to work on your iOS device?
I don't know. I haven't tried.
I tried it on my iPad and it didn't work. So I was going to try it on my Mac. Like the videos wouldn't play with any kind of good consistency.
Yeah, it. I have like, I don't know what I'm doing on my.
So I'm looking at it on my iPhone. How do you get beyond that splash screen where it gives you the introduction?
Okay, then it doesn't.
And in the
work.
Background, you see Earth. You know, kind
it
of faded.
Should be a button that says go.
It would just work if it was working.
I don't have a go button on my iPhone. Let me reload. Oh, boo. All right. Apparently, it doesn't work on iOS.
I think they have some mobile issues, yeah. So you probably need to try it on your Mac. But
yeah, so it,
that's lame.
And depending on what sort of extensions you have in Safari, it may not work in Safari, but...
Oh, yeah. I guess I could have tried it in, like, Chrome on iOS. That's probably worth a shot.
Yeah, but it's real cool. You can stop the videos, or you can stop. It gives you like 5 seconds of every one of the videos, but you can pause the little marquee thing and just keep watching the video. And you can actually pop open the video in another window and bookmark it or whatever. But yeah, it really is people watching because it's just the most. It's just a random video that someone uploaded, and it's really funny because. Half the time you're sitting there watching and you're like, wait a minute, someone actually took the time to upload this. Why did you take the time to put this on the internet? This is, you know, it was a waste of time to put this up there. It's just nothing happens.
But, yeah, because it's the internet and that's awesome.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Check it out, astronaut.io. And with that, you can find all of our picks in the show notes at theiosshow.com. Review the show in iTunes, rate the show, and tell a friend. Feedback at theiosshow.com is the address to which you can send your questions, comments, and your feedback about the show. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media at backbeatmedia.com. Adam Christensen is at the MattCast, mattcast.com, and at MattCast on Twitter. Thanks for being here, Adam.
Hey, thanks. As always, it's fun.
And Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, TMO Daily Observations podcast every weekday, and at Jay Gamet on Twitter. Thank you for being here, Jeff.
Every single time is awesome.
And I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter, and you can toot me that way. And with that, we'll see you next time on the iOS show.
An internet.
How are we going to communicate this?
With a stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right?